Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm not predicting it, Steve. I'm guaranteeing it. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. And never mind my partners on Good Morning Football. And let me assure you, as much as I love my two brothers and my sister, they have seen 5 seconds of Buffalo Bills football all year. They're off doing the primetime games and the more prestigious teams, and they're all much bigger than me, those guys. Believe me, they're like, what, the Bills? Oh, they still play football in Western New York? Telling you, they will do it. Except for Kay. Kay knows the Bills. But I do think the Bills will beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're a better team. I don't know if they have a better roster. I don't really care. I think the Bills will beat the Cowboys on Thursday, and the Bills will be a much, much bigger deal in this country on Friday.
That's how it went last Tuesday, a week ago, when our man Kyle Brandt forecast correctly. He didn't predict it. He guaranteed a Buffalo Bills victory over the Dallas Cowboys. As you know, that's the way it happened. And Kyle Brandt, the host of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, joins us live right now. Kyle, go ahead. Take a victory lap around your living room there. Go ahead. You deserve it.
Not a prediction, Murph. Let's not lest anybody confused. Not a prediction, a guarantee. And you know what? It wasn't even that close. I wish I could pay it forward now and say, I guarantee Steve Tasker will be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I can tell you this. I guarantee he is the first ballot Hall of Fame Good Morning Football guest. Steve came on last Friday and was incredible. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for making the show better.
Well, it was fun for me. You guys are great. You guys are a staple in our day. We watch you every day. And it was an honor for me. A thrill. It was fun. You guys are great.
Well, you're the best thing on TV. I've made your show better for 13 weeks. You kind of owed us for 1 week. And frankly, look, Steve, you were just as a guest like you were as a player. Completely dependable, hardworking, researched. You came in with a metaphor, and you know we love metaphors in Good Morning Football. Right. Absolutely killed it. Thank you for coming on. Now let's bring on those Ravens, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Then that brings us to the topic of the day. And thank you. We had to play your guarantee for last week so we could finally put the Dallas win behind us and you know, kind of move on from our Thanksgiving feast. But this is, and I've told Murph this a ton, and you know this too. When the reward you get for winning an important game is a more important game. And that's what the Bills face with the Ravens this week.
It's wild, too, because I feel like it almost feels like they jumped up in weight class, right? You're like, okay, well, you knocked out the middleweight, and now your reward is the light heavyweight who's been winning every fight in the first round and as no joke whatsoever. But listen, isn't this what you want as a Bills fan? Nobody watched for 11 weeks, and everyone said, well, you beat the Dolphins, you beat the Redskins. This has been 3.5 months in the making, maybe 20 years in the making. It's a huge game and a huge challenge. I heard Murph talking about the defensive statistics of the two teams going in. You know, I saw some really good defensive statistics for the San Francisco 49ers last week, too. And then I see Lamar just prancing through the secondary. This is the challenge of all challenges. I'm not necessarily sure I'm going to give you a Bills guarantee they're going to win this week, but right. Wait till the end of the segment.
We don't need a guarantee every week, but if you got one, we'll take it. Kyle, what is it about this Baltimore offense that has everybody so excited? And I guess a better question might be, what have they done to change the way we look at NFL offenses? What has Lamar Jackson done, do you think?
It's insane. You know, and I think it's also not just that they're running all over the place or not just that they're a sensation. We're in December now. This has been going on 4 months. That supposed thing where the league catches up with Lamar or watches film with Lamar, we're kind of past that. He's passed every single test. There's a lot of different ways I could take this, but I'll do kind of a backdoor way on this. Everybody's been watching Lamar Jackson. Everyone watching your show, listening to your show, knows Mark Ingram. There's something that the Ravens do that is so interesting and a player to watch out for this weekend. Watch for number 42, Patrick Ricard. Patrick Ricard, they call him Project Pat. He is an undrafted guy from Maine, and he is one of the NFL's, maybe the NFL's only true two-way player. He's the fullback that's in front of Lamar, in front of Ingram on the goal line. He also plays pass rusher on defense, a defensive end, and he plays special teams. A lot of this mauling that you see them do when they go for a full house backfield, double tight ends, it's not just Ingram and Lamar. This guy, number 42, is the do-all guy, and you've got to take him out of it because he's nasty. Watch for Patrick Ricard.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things about this game that are new and different for Bills fans. We don't see the Baltimore Ravens all the time, although it's the last two seasons we will have seen them. This is a team also that plays really good defense. I mean, both that game last weekend with the 49ers and the Ravens, you knew that both those defenses were going to have their say, but, man, it was a close game, a hard-fought game, and there is a way to hold the Ravens from scoring 47 points or 41 points or 37 points like they've been doing the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And the Niners found a way to do it. Is there a key in there other than just putting a bunch of supermen out there?
It's tricky because, you know, as hyped as that Niners-Ravens game was, it was the game of the week, and everyone was talking about it all week. It was a little strange because, you know, you saw it. The conditions were terrible. It was raining. It was wet. So the passing numbers from both sides were way down. I almost feel like that game, it was like a movie you didn't get in high def. Like, it wasn't really the true experience, and it was still so close. I think as it pertains to the Ravens' defense against the Bills' offense, you know, everyone is so titillated by Lamar that you don't talk a lot about the Ravens' defense, and you don't see Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs out there. And it's these guys like Matthew Judon or Earl Thomas late, but they're fantastic. I mean, they really are good. This is not, make no mistake, the Bills are not playing the MVP this week or the best offense this week. They're playing the best team in the league this week. The Ravens are head and shoulders above, and you can't do that with Lamar Jackson just running around. Their defense is loaded too. Just look at who they beat.
Kyle, you mentioned about a jump up in weight class. Are the Bills ready for that jump up? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, they've had a lot of tune-ups, Murph. You can only fight so many tomato cans. They've had sparring sessions. Yeah. They're ready. It's the right time of year. They're at home. I would be obviously disappointed, but also very surprised if the Bills got beaten heavily this weekend. As good as Lamar is, as good as the Ravens are, there's absolutely no reason this should not be a close game, but it's going to come down to the thing that we have said in every conversation we have ever had, and is the maturation of Josh Allen. He's going to have to make some plays. I thought on Thanksgiving Day, I barely recognized the guy, and I mean that in a good way. And listen, that fourth and short was it wasn't just a clutch play. It wasn't just that was a seminal play for young Josh Allen to not only have the wherewithal, but to have the spine to scoop up the ball and make a play. The word we've used all season about this guy is fearless. Absolutely fearless, almost a little nuts sometimes where it makes you nervous. But this, as far as I'm concerned, was the play of the year for the Buffalo Bills. They've had bigger ones. They've had more important ones maybe, but not one that is more telling of him and the screaming and the pointing afterwards. So that to me was like, It was like he left adolescence. He's ready to get out of the house. He's not living in mom's room anymore. He's not driving dad's car. I feel like Josh Allen was grown up on that play, as ugly and sloppy as it was. I'm at home on Thanksgiving jumping off the couch yelling because that was what it was like. Josh Allen became a man right in front of us.
Hey Kyle, I wonder, and you tell me if I'm wearing rose-colored glasses here, but you could argue, and I might be arguing right here, that all that led up to this week's game was kind of meant to be. The easy schedule, they get their footing offensively, they find out that they're better in no huddle, they find out that they're better with 11 personnel, the defense remains solid, and then maybe it was supposed to work this way. Now they are jumping into the heaviest weight class, ready to do so based on what has come before it, including back-to-back wins over the Dolphins and the Denver Broncos leading into this little stretch here.
Well, Murph, I would agree with you, and I'll take it a step further. I think also some of the beatdowns that they've taken, whether it was Philadelphia or whether it was Cleveland, you know, they got tougher from those. And let's not forget, you know, Rocky Balboa got the snot beaten out of him by Clubber Lang before he came back in the rematch and had to remaster that deal. Now, listen, they got bodied hard. We've talked about this to continue the boxing analogies. Those losses to Philadelphia, to Cleveland, those were just body shots, run game up the middle. So I hope they've matured, because if they haven't, Baltimore is going to drop them early. Nobody runs the ball like this. It's San Francisco and Baltimore. And it's kind of silver lining if you're Dallas last week. Zeke Elliott was doing his thing. And we can agree, the game got away from him, and they stopped handing him the ball and just handed it over to Dak. But it's not really like the Bills' defense was jumping all over number 21. It looked like he was going to be gashing them a little bit. So we'll find out on defense how much the Bills have progressed, because we've seen a couple times this year when, someone really takes it to him in the ground game, and nobody has the punching power like Baltimore.
Yeah, one of the things I kind of got out of that Dallas game, and we had seen flashes of it, although we'd never had a moment where you had to compare it. Josh Allen, like last year, the first time he really starts a game we remember was in the Minnesota game when the Bills were 0-2 and they had getting.
And he jumped over the guy.
It seems as though, and this Thanksgiving game, same thing. Josh seems to play well in the pressures on. He's a fourth quarter comeback guy. He's a fourth quarter quarterback. His quarterback rating was the top of the league for a while. When the pressure's on, when the lights are up, when you get in those big moments, he seems to have the mentality to rise up and elevate his play. And I can't think of a better gene or trait for a quarterback to have than that one. Do you think the Thanksgiving Day performance he put on maybe bolsters that, or was that just a kind of a one-off game? What do you think? Does he have that clutch gene, that limelight gene that some of these guys have?
You know what I thought was impressed by on Josh on Thanksgiving Day? We talked about the fourth and short and the passing, sure. But actually, one of my biggest takeaways was after the game. They win. Oh, my gosh. It's Bill's Christmas. They beat the Cowboys. The American dream beats America's team. It's a great storyline, and everybody's freaking out. And he's standing there on the field, and he's with Tracy Wolfson, who really teed it up high for him to say, Josh, basically, I'm paraphrasing, do you have something to say to America now about the Buffalo Bills? And he didn't go there, and he stayed in his shoes, and I thought he showed a lot of poise because he could have beat his chest and done a sort of how you like me now type speech. And it would have been way premature, and that you say something like that, then you lose to Baltimore, you lose to the whole thing falls apart. I thought in the biggest moment media-wise of his NFL career, I mean, listen, guys, that was the most watched regular season NFL game in 3 years. There's 30 million people watching that thing. For him to just say, no, you know, we're not worried about sending a message, I thought was very smart and very mature. So on the field, sure. But I think he does have it between the ears, Steve.
Got one more Thanksgiving leftover for you regarding the Bills. Yeah. One of your favorite Bills, Dawson Knox, gets nominated again for an angry run this week, huh?
I'm glowing about Dawson Knox. You know, everybody can rant and rave about all these fantastic tight ends in the league, the Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz, and they're prolific players. Give me this young kid in Buffalo who just throws people into the core of the earth that they try to tackle him. I love Dawson Knox. He was a finalist for our Angry Runs Award this week. I wish he could have won, but it's a democratic process, and it ended up going down to one of the D linemen for the Saints who sent Matt Ryan into the next dimension. But it's so funny because the Bills fans are always all over that segment, and they really want it, which I respect. They had, you know, you nominate Dawson Knox, I thought, you know, they would be, their bloodlust would be satisfied for the week. No, many people felt he should have won. Many people upset that Josh Allen was not nominated for the same fourth and short play. So if it was up to Western New York, every nominee every week would be a Buffalo Bill. And the way they're playing, maybe some one of these weeks it will be. But until then, Dawson Knox is one of my favorite players in the league. He must be protected at all costs.
Well, we kind of wrapped up the Thanksgiving weekend, and we also looked ahead to the Ravens. Let's look a little bit around the league. We got the upcoming on the Bills' schedule, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Devlin Hodges is 2-0 as their star. And I got to be honest with you, I have no idea who this guy is. I don't know where he came from, anything. But I'll tell you what. The Steelers organization has a knack for putting it together when they need it the most. Mike Tomlin, you got to tip your hat to him. And Devlin Hodges come in and wins two games for him in a season that's not over for them yet. It's pretty intriguing over in Pittsburgh right now.
It's unbelievably intriguing. And one of the things you learn if you're in the NFL world long enough is do not ever count out the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're different than a team. They are a company. They are an organization. And that organization does not have bad seasons. And Mike Tomlin has never been below 500. And this was the year he was supposed to take his lumps. The franchise quarterback goes down. The backup doesn't have it. Guys, understand. I don't know if maybe some of your listeners don't understand why Devlin Hodges is called Duck Hodges. He's called Duck Hodges because he has a background in competitive duck calling, both as a junior and then also when he grew up. This is random, wild stuff that you expect to see, you know, on a different TV channel or some sort of weird documentary about Duck Dynasty. He's the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's never lost. And he's got this kind of thing. It reminds me earlier in the season of another wacky backup, Gardner Minshew, who came out of nowhere, ridiculous name, ridiculous look, and just made plays. And he worked and he had it going for a while there. And if you look at the Steelers, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell, no Juju Smith-Schuster, no Marquise Pouncey, all of these guys out. And they're throwing Duck Hodges to James Washington and winning because Steelers. Don't ever think for a second. I don't care if Buffalo goes and beats Baltimore and they're on top of the world. Don't count out the Steelers. They will go duck hunting and beat you again. It's a tough, tough opponent.
Does Mike Tomlin deserve maybe Coach of the Year if he can win games and get into the playoffs with a duck caller?
I would think so. I mean, this is one of the best Coach of the Year years I've seen in a long time, because quickly what Sean Payton has done, losing Drew Brees for a month, what Kyle Shanahan has done, they're a 10-2 team. I could go down the line. Even what Brian Flores is doing with a team that was engineered to lose, and now all of a sudden they're winning. But Mike Tomlin always showed up, guys, and was, well, he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's got all the great players. Can Mike Tomlin really coach? He can coach. I mean, this is an awesome, awesome campaign that they're putting together.
Last one, the quick one for you, Kyle. Talking about counting out teams, when, if ever, can we start counting out the New England Patriots? What do you think?
I'm not that stupid, Murph. I won't do it. There's a lot of people in media who want infamy, tweets, retweets, whatever the hell they are. Listen, there's definitely blood in the water right now. I'm not going to tell you there isn't. It's a fascinating watch, the Patriots the other night. We've watched Tom Brady for 20 years. 20 years we've seen him. I've never seen him on the sideline dropping a monologue, screaming at his wide receivers about what they have to do over and over, not even caring that the cameras were on him. You know, my colleague on NFL Network, Kurt Warner, another Hall of Famer, just said, Brady has no one he can trust. I mean, he doesn't know who to throw to. And I saw him truck down the field 25, 40 yards to Julian Edelman in double coverage. That's not what Julian Edelman does. That's not what they do. But it's his only friend he's got in the fight. And so, to answer your question, Murph, there's a lot of blood in the water, and there's been blood before. Until they are dead and buried, cold, dead hands, I will never count out the Patriots. And everybody there in Bill's kingdom knows what I'm talking about.
How big was that win for Houston, though? That's no question. The Patriots walk in there 9-2, 10-2.
Yeah.
And how big a win is that for the Houston Texans?
It's really big, but it's also really fascinating. The AFC South, to me, is usually a little bit bland. But what's going to happen in the last 3 weeks of the season is the Texans are going to play the Titans twice in the last 3 weeks. And if you haven't watched the Titans recently, and probably you haven't because they've been boring for about 8 years, they're must-see TV. After the Ravens, it's inexplicably in this crazy NFL year when we got duck callers and Gardeners, Ryan Tannehill is out of his mind. And right now, Derrick Henry is the best, hottest running back in the league. So it was big for the Texans, of course, but they got a lot of unfinished business with the Titans, and I just never thought that'd be a sentence I'd say.
Yeah, they have two games within the last 3 weeks of the season. They didn't know, but it's brilliant scheduling because that really is going to be fun, right?
Don't need to flex it. It flexes itself, right. Steve. It's my favorite kind of schedule.
Right.
Kyle, thanks for this. We'll talk again. Thank you very much.
Anytime, guys. Don't mind. Any week, we do it. And I will say, Bills 27, Ravens 23. See you next week.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Wow, there you go. You got it. Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, the host of Good Morning Football. We watch it every day here. It starts at 7 a.m. on the NFL Network. That did not sound like a guarantee. That was more like a prediction. Last week, it was a guarantee. That sounded like a prediction, right?
It's hard to predict against the number one team in the NFL, right?
Yes, it is.
I get it.
Well, I'll probably get there by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'm already talked into it, so I'm with you. That's a lot of points against these two defenses. But and I think the weather, and I've been trying to keep track of what the weather's going to be over the weekend, and it looks like mostly cloudy, about 43, 14-mile-per-hour winds. Ha, that's a great – that's
it's nothing.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's good weather. So for these parts. So we'll see.
Got a break here. When we come back, Joe Ferguson's going to be with us, Bills Wall of Famer. Joe Ferguson was at the game in Dallas last Thursday afternoon. He'll be with us live to talk about that and what he's up to these days. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy. This is Steve Tasker. We're here until 3 o'clock today. Judy Batista of the NFL Network, NFL.com, is going to join us coming up in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about the Bills and the Ravens matchup. We do want to talk a little bit more about last Thanksgiving Day. And on the line with us, a special guest who was there at the game at AT&T Stadium. He spent 12 years with the Buffalo Bills as a quarterback. Third-round pick of the Bills in 1973. 17 seasons in the NFL with the Bills, the Lions, the Bucks, and Indy. He's on the Bills Wall of Fame, named there in 1995. Happy to have one of the all-time greats, Bills former quarterback Joe Ferguson, on the line with us live. Joe, it's John Murphy here in Buffalo with Steve Tasker. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
You bet, John. How y'all doing up there?
We're doing great.
Doing good.
Thanks. Thanks for coming on. What got you to the Bills game in Dallas last Thursday? What put you there in the stadium?
Well, my daughter works for the Cowboys, and so she gets us into a suite up there. And when the Bills were playing, I wanted to come watch. So that pretty well got us over there for that.
Did I hear you had moved to Texas? Is that right? You live in Texas now?
No, I live in Arkansas. Still in Arkansas.
Okay.
And but we go down and actually see the grandkids and go to the ball game.
What'd you think of the Bills' performance there in Dallas?
I enjoyed watching them. I tell you, they're competitive as heck. And I tell you one thing I really enjoyed. I got to the stadium early, and I watched them as they were coming out to warm up and everything. And I mean, they just have a great enthusiasm about them. And it seemed like there was a lot of togetherness there, and wanting to play, for each other. And that's something that in today's NFL you don't normally see that. But I like that. I mean, it was fun watching them, and a well-coached football team.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are your remembrances about your early days here? We talk a lot about Josh Allen, obviously, and he played a really nice game last Thursday against the Cowboys. What do you remember about your first couple of years in Buffalo? Because every so often, Josh Allen will break a record, like he's the only guy to have a winning season his second year. He's got fourth quarter comebacks, and he's breaking your records. What do you remember about your early days in Buffalo?
Early days was that I had a lot of help, naturally, with a great running back and a great fullback named Jim Braxton, great receiver, and Bobby Chandler and J.D. Hill. I had a lot of help, and I think that's where Josh is at right now. And I understand that Buffalo has some good early-round draft picks coming up this year that'll be beneficial for the team. But I saw a lot of enthusiasm on the field, and I tell you, I think they're just going to get better and better.
Hey, Joe, we were talking a little bit last week about the Bills on Thanksgiving Day, and you were part of a Buffalo team in your third season that played a Thanksgiving Day game in St. Louis, but under kind of trying circumstances. Can you tell us that story, what happened that day, Thanksgiving 1975?
Gosh, you know, I slept last night now, guys. Y'all are stretching it when you get back that far.
Well, it was a game I think the Bills got into town like 2 hours before kickoff or something, right?
Oh, I do remember that. We flew in. We actually left Buffalo, and there was a snowstorm, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we landed in Chicago and spent the night. And then we got up the next morning and flew straight to St. Louis, got off the plane, got our own bags, put them on the truck, went straight to the stadium and got our own bags again, went in, got dressed, didn't even warm up, just went out and played the game, and still snowing and a sparse crowd, and we won the game. And from there, it was blight. But when you don't go out and warm up, you just go out and start playing, which I guess you could do.
You'd be hard pressed to convince players these days you could do it without warming up. Everybody's got a pregame routine and ritual and all that stuff.
Exactly. These players today are a different breed. Good. I mean, I'm not being negative by any means. They're just a little bit different than what we used to be.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the things you notice about the NFL today. Certainly, you came in and were out of the league before I came in, and it's changed immensely since I left the NFL. What are the most striking differences for you as you watch the NFL today?
I tell you, the most striking thing I see is the number of passes that are being thrown to covered receivers. And the dead-gum receivers are jumping up, making plays all over. I mean, there are some great, great athletes making great plays in today's game that we never tested, because when I was playing, I was always told, if a defensive back is running with the receiver, don't throw it there. Well, these guys today, they don't care if they're running even with them. They're throwing it up there, and these guys are making these catches, and it's phenomenal. You see it on every ball game, and that just goes back to the caliber of athlete. Even though, hey, I had J.D. Hill, Bobby Chandler, they probably could have made those catches, but we never made the throws back in that day.
So, Joe, you came into the league in 1973, played for 17 years for a bunch of different teams. If you could go back and give young Joe Ferguson some advice before he ever took a snap in the NFL, what would you tell him?
I think have more confidence in what you can do. I was a young redneck country guy that didn't know any different, never been away from home, and was just doing what I was told instead of doing what I probably felt like I could do. I think maybe to have a little bit more confidence in what I was able to do at that point, because your first 5 or 6, 7 years are your best years, and you need to play to that level.
I wonder, Joe, what you would tell young Josh Allen, Buffalo's current quarterback now in his second year. What do you think of him, and what kind of advice would you have for him?
Just, hey, keep doing what he's doing. He's got a very good arm, high-caliber arm, and hopefully the Bills will build a team around him that they can develop. But to tell him, just have a lot of confidence in what you're doing and let the team know that you have confidence, you know, in what you can do. It makes a big difference when they believe in you. There's no doubt. You got to let them know that you're ready to play and show it on the field, and just do what you can do.
Last thing for you, Joe, your health concerns have been followed closely here in Buffalo. I know you got a lot of moral support from Bills fans. How are you health-wise, and how are you feeling these days?
I am really doing outstanding. Every time I have a yearly checkup I go to, and my doctor keeps saying your blood's getting better every time I see you, so whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So I'm doing very well, thank goodness, and a lot of prayers to the people people in Buffalo and emails, and it's amazing how much contact I had when I was down, and from people in Buffalo is outstanding.
Well, I got one last thing I got to say to you, Joe. At the end of your career, the Bills brought you back. Marv Levy had taken over as head coach, and they had you in for a workout, and I was the guy that was catching the ball for you in your workout with the Bills. They didn't sign you, so I kind of would apologize for not doing a better job than giving you that one extra year here in Buffalo to come back and finish your career.
It was all your fault. I talked to Levy about that. I said, you got to give me a better receiver out here, man. Come on.
That's right. Perfect.
I tell you, once I got out of there, I missed it. I really was hoping to get to come back and finish out there. I would have loved to have been able to do that. But just didn't work. Didn't work.
Hey, Joe, thanks for this. It's great to catch up with you. We are delighted that you're feeling good these days. And maybe we'll see you at another Bills game down the road here.
Well, no doubt about that. I'll be back in Buffalo, or I'll be wherever they're playing. If we can, if it's fairly close, I'll be there.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, thank
you. Thank you. Joe Ferguson, Bills Wall of Famer, former Bills quarterback for 12 years, played 17 seasons in the NFL, and always a class act, always a good guy, you know, and had a lot of success here. Took the 1980 team to the AFC East Division title. Played playoff games, played on the famous bad ankle, and gave it his best in a playoff game against the Chargers in San Diego. The Bills came up short in that game, but that guy was a great arm, and he was really a good competitive player too.
You don't put a career together in one town like he did here in Buffalo unless you're a really good player. And I know that ankle game you're talking about, I heard stories about that after I got here in 1986, where they'd say, "The doc," they said, "You're not playing." And he said, I am going to play. And they said, well, then you're going to sign this waiver that you're not going to sue us for letting you play when you ain't got no business playing.
Yeah.
Right?
It was tough to watch.
It was tough to watch. It was the atmosphere that the league was back then. And, you know, it's obviously a different atmosphere than it is in this day and age, and when things are a little bit different. And maybe those things didn't happen. Maybe they shouldn't have happened then. But it was kind of the way things were. And for him to do that, I know you talk to the guys who were on that team, meant a lot to those guys on that team. And, you know, that's really why guys do those kind of things in the first place. It's not so much about them wanting to play so much. It's that you don't want to let their teammates down. You want to help like you have all season. It's hard not to.
I thought it was interesting, too, and you asked a good question about what he would tell himself to do differently after 17 years, and he said, have more confidence in myself, basically, is what he said, right? And mm-hmm. I go back to, you know, he gets here in 1973. Bills are pretty good. Lou Saban is the coach, and they have this Hall of Fame running back, O.J. Simpson, who's tearing it up. Joe Ferguson was the starter that season, attempted a total of 164 passes in the entire season.
In a 14-game season.
In a 14-game season. So what are we talking about, 12 passes
12
a game?
12 passes a game.
They didn't let him throw. Maybe Joe is thinking, maybe, I'm not putting words in his mouth, maybe he's thinking, I should have told him, Lou, I got to throw it a little bit more than 12 times a game, right? But they won 9 games. I don't know. Did not make the playoffs with that 9-5 record.
Didn't make the playoffs with 9-5.
No. Well, it was a different era. There weren't as many playoff teams.
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, that's right. There was no wild card teams.
Right.
It was like the four division winners, or maybe the three division winners, four division winners, and that was it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. Really
interesting.
Good. All right. Thank you to Joe Ferguson for joining us. Steve and I coming back with more. We want to get back into our topic of the day. And the question is, you know, here are the Bills now with their 9-3 record. Playoff bound, it appears, 93-94% chance of making the postseason. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? There's still 25% of the season left. What do they need to get done in these last four games? What's still missing? Give us a call. We'll discuss. 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy with Steve Tasker here until 3 o'clock. We got Judy Batista from the NFL Network joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. We got a lot of time to talk with you here and throughout the course of the show, and a lot of things to talk about. Twitter poll today. I think it's an interesting question. And again, we're going to get into the Baltimore Ravens game as the week moves along, but kind of taking stock of the Bills, where they're at three quarters of the way through the season with 25% of the games remaining. The Twitter question today, what's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? Are they perfect? No, nobody would argue that, right? What do they still need to do? Got more than 950 votes in so far. 44% of you say they still need to develop a deep ball threat on offense. I get that. 32% of you say they still need more big game experience. Maybe the Cowboys game is the only big game they've had so far this year. 14% of you say they still need more playoff caliber opponents. They'll get them the next 3 weeks. 10% have something else in mind. What's on your mind to this question or anything regarding the Bills? 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Let us know what you think. We'll take your phone calls. Let's go to Emmanuel in Dallas. Hello, Emmanuel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, John and Steve.
Hi.
My comment is, before I got to your topic of the day, because I couldn't hear you, I want to talk about your topic of the day. I think what they're missing is good tackling and upfront stopping the run. Every time I watch the Bills lose, it's people running the ball down their throat in terms of like New Orleans Saints last year. And now this year, you know, teams know, hey, let's run the ball at the Bills. If they can make good tackling and be stout up front, I think they can go and do anything they want to do. Specifically, I want to talk about Starla Tule. I'm the guy who called from Hawaii, right? I just don't think that it's in their nature or in Star's nature to be mean up front. And I think it maybe it's time to move on after this season from Star.
Well, here's the and it's interesting you say that, because most of the people I'm looking down the mentions on the people who reply to the Twitter poll, most of the other category has to do with the run defense, because you're right. When the Bills have been vulnerable, it's to teams who have run the football and had good days running the ball against them, and that's I think that is an issue that they're dealing with, and they kind of worry about it. It's a concern of the defense. If the defense does have one concern at this point, that's got to be it. They got to maintain the run defense. And if so I think that's a really valid point. I don't know if that it outweighs any of the others, but I certainly see where you're coming from. This is a team that has leaned on the defense for most of the season. now that their offense is gaining its stride, maybe that takes a little pressure off that run defense. Maybe teams are going to have to throw it a little more anyway to keep up with an offense that scores a few more points. Don't know if that's the case in this game because of the defenses involved. But it's a point well taken. When we've seen this team look bad on that side of the ball, it has been because of the run defense. It's not been because of the long pass. It's not been because of a quarterback lighting them up or receivers getting open or there's somebody they can't stop. It's been because of run defense. And so I think that's a valid point. I hear you, Emmanuel. You're right. And I don't know if you're going to get – I'll never get into specifics about players who are playing good, who are playing bad. That's hard to say because, quite frankly, you don't know exactly what these guys are being asked to do or exactly how they're being coached. But – and it's not automatically the defensive front's fault. It could be linebackers. It could be defensive backs. It could be something different on every run play they give up. But you're right. I think that's a great point you bring up about a run defense.
What's still missing from the 2019 Bills? Bob in Orchard Park on the line with some thoughts on that. Go ahead, Bob. Hello.
Yeah, hi, John and Steve.
Hi.
First of all, I'd like to say that it's been a joy to watch the Bills the last few weeks, how they're progressing from game to game. I mean, you don't really see that all the time. That it's been that quick of a progression where from game to game you can see how much they're getting better at certain things. And as to your poll question about what's still missing, I had brought up a couple weeks ago with you and Steve that it's not a criticism, but I still see a lack of production on the offensive side with the tight ends. I think we have two excellent tight ends in Knox and Tyler Kroft, but they're almost invisible in the offense. Tyler Kroft, since he come back, I think he's only caught one pass. Where is he? Is he hurt or what's going on with him? So I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
That's a good point. I mean, John Brown's gotten a lot of positive attention because of the productivity he's put out. Cole Beasley is a guy who had a huge breakout game, kind of a career game against Dallas in this last game. And I think that's where the passing game starts with for the most part. But there's no question the tight ends are going to be important down the stretch. You've got to have somebody to win with if a team like the Patriots or the Baltimore Ravens force you to win left-handed. You've got to have somebody who can get open consistently. If the Bills need somebody like that and they don't feel like they have it, I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe it's a tight end, maybe it's Kroft, maybe it's Knox, somebody else. But they're going to need somebody other than Cole Beasley and John Brown. And I don't know if I know who would be in the passing game if it's not one of those two guys.
Tyler Kroft has four catches since he's been back.
Right.
They're not a great passing offense. Let's face it. They're 23rd in the league still, even with the production from John Brown, even with the – I think it's gotten better the last few weeks, but they're not a great passing offense. It's not their strength. And I think they want to run the ball more than they want to throw the ball, don't you?
Yeah, I think they feel like it's better for their complementary football philosophy when they get into these games where they know their defense is going to have something – is going to play well. They know, too, that the fewer chances they give a team to score, it's going to aid their probability of victory. So I think they do want to run the football. That's like everybody. If you can make first downs just running the football, it feels less risky than it does throwing the football. And we used to stand on the sidelines, and when we were running the ball well or if a team was running the ball on us, we always used to say, if you can run the football, the other team is defenseless. I mean, there's nothing you can do. They're just going to keep handing it off and getting first downs, and there's nothing you can do about it. You've got to find a way to stop it because you really feel – it feels hopeless when they run the football well on you because all they got – it just looks so easy. That's why. You give it to a guy, he makes a guy miss and 6-yard gain. He makes another guy miss or has nobody touch him, it's another 6-yard gain. Man, that's really demoralizing. Yeah. And that's why I think it strikes a chord with so many fans as well.
Let's take a call here from Jerry in Kenmore. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
My two concerns are special teams. We've had a blocked punt. We've had a kickoff return for a touchdown. We've had missed field. I mean, the special teams were bad last year, and aside from the kick return, which is a really small sample, the special teams seem to get foul played almost every week. The second thing is short yardage philosophy and execution. It took a superhuman play to change our season last week. And again, I've called you guys 20 times on this. I really don't get pack the box and try to win 7 one-on-one battles with 275-pound guys to gain a yard. It's not how a yard is made anymore in this league. This isn't 1975.
Jerry, I disagree.
We're 0 for like 10 with Gore, third or fourth and one this year. 0 for 10.
Are those real numbers, or are you just spitballing there, Jerry? Because I don't have that number at my
yard on any of. He was 0 for 6 in two games, back to back, the Philly game and another, and the game after the Philly game. Watch the way New England does it. They spread the field and then they sneak Brady. They don't pack it in and sneak Brady. Think about the math of it. Do you want to try to gain a yard in an area that has 14 players that weigh 275 pounds or more? The math of it isn't reasonable.
Okay, Jerry, I'll tell you what. If that's your big issue with this offense, you're not paying attention. I mean, I get it. I think that's a minor thing. This is an offense that's 23rd in the league in throwing the football. They run the football pretty well. They've got a quarterback who's 6'6", 250, and is a real athlete. They call his number once in a while. He's the best short yardage back in the league, in my opinion, except maybe the guy they're facing this week in Lamar Jackson. Now, I get it. Having him turn around and hand it off to Frank Gore has not been as successful as you wanted to see. Okay. But they don't do that every single time. And last week is a perfect example of what they can do when they, you know, when they hand the ball to Josh. He salvaged a busted play. But I get it. I mean, so they're getting snapped off on fourth and shorts a lot. Okay.
They're in the top half. Look, and I don't have the detailed numbers for fourth and short, but fourth downs overall, most of them are going to be short. They're in the top half of the league. They're 14th in the league in fourth down percentage. Ravens, by the way, are number one in the league in fourth down percentage. But you bring up a decent point, Jerry. I would have to look at – I guess I would need some evidence based on numbers, you know, that it's been unsuccessful.
I know they did go through a rough stretch where they were getting snapped off.
Well, they
off.
Had that goal line sequence
right.
A couple of weeks ago, right? That was ugly. And they finally, by the way, did score, right, on that goal line sequence. It was first and goal at the one, second and goal at the one, third and goal at the one, and then they scored on fourth down. Was that Dolphins?
Something like that. I might have been
– Washington game? I can't remember.
I don't think it was the – I don't think it was the Denver game. It was before that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to see more numbers on that, but that's a valid criticism. That's valid.
Yeah, I mean, but I do like this. And most people – it's interesting because Jerry the caller said it. It's interesting, too. Most people crush you for not going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never thinking that you're not going to get it. And the Bills are kind of, what, 16th? They're middle of the road in the league, and it seems like they never get it, right?
Right.
So think about it. It's a crucial down. That's why coaches are have been in years past and historically very, very reticent to even go for it on fourth down instead of just taking the punt, sending them down the field 35 yards or 40 yards and letting them have the ball there.
What do you think? What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? They're not perfect. We know it. Want to hear from you in the third and final hour of the show. What do you think they can do better at as the season moves through the final four games? Also coming up next hour, Judy Batista of NFL.com. She's also on the NFL Network. She was in Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium, last Sunday for the 49ers-Ravens game. She has some thoughts on that game. She has some thoughts on what to expect from the Bills and some thoughts on the NFL 100 team, the all-time team. She is on the panel of Blue Ribbon voters for that team. Judy Batista coming up when we return. Come on back with us. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.